Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Right, new research from the Royal College of Surgeons, University of Medicine and Health Sciences, along with the Medical Bureau of Road Safety based in UCD, has revealed a dramatic increase in the detection of cocaine and cannabis among Irish drivers suspected of driving under the influence, pointing to changing patterns of drug use on Irish roads. To go through the findings now, I am joined on the line by Dr. Richard Maguire, Principal Analyst at the Medical Bureau of Road Safety. Good evening to you, Richard.
Good evening.
Can you just run me through the research here? I mean, it does look on the face of it an alarming rise in the number of drivers detected with drugs in their system.
Yeah, I mean, the Medical Bureau of Road Safety is responsible for alcohol and drug testing of drivers arrested under a suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs. We mainly receive blood samples, but some urine samples as well. And these samples are tested in the laboratory. We collaborated with Professor Grainne Cousins in RCSI and Eamon Keenan in the National Social Inclusion Office in the HSE. And we did two studies. Study one was drug and polydrug detection in drivers under the influence of an intoxicant in Ireland between 2012 and 2018. In that study, we looked at about 9,000 samples over a six-year period. And the second study that we did was, again, looking at drug and polydrug detection in drivers, but in a more recent period 2019 to 2020, and we did a statistical analysis on that called latent class analysis, which essentially helps you to group the drivers into specific categories. And in that study, we did about 5,000 cases over the 2 years. In the first study, what we found was cannabis was the most commonly detected drug at about 49.3%. And at the beginning of the study in 2012, benzodiazepines would have been the second most prevalent. But by the end of the study, 6 years later, cocaine had leapfrogged benzodiazepines to become the second most prevalent drug in drivers. And what was most striking about these, the change in cocaine, was that when we looked at the adjusted rate ratio, which is essentially how much did it increase each year over the course of the study, the increase was about 21%, which is quite striking. And we also saw an increase
in
the cannabis.
Richard, sorry, I'll just stop you there. Yeah. 21% yeah. In the space of what period are we looking at that increase?
Six years.
Wow. Okay.
Over the 6 years. So at the start of 2012, we would have seen cocaine prevalence at about 10%. And by the end of it, it's at 25%. And whilst that was quite striking, that increase over that period, but what we've seen in the intervening period is that whilst it has increased, for example, just 25% in 2018, it's 26% in 2024, it's 28% in 2025. The rate of increase has slowed down, but the prevalence has sustained.
Indeed. And cannabis, what rates are we seeing with that?
With cannabis, we're kind of fluctuate around 50%, and that's, you know, hasn't changed too much. I mean, at the beginning of 2012, we were around kind of 45%, and we're at 49% in 2025.
Right. And you talked about the analysis of the data from 2019 to 2020 as well, with 5,000 samples looked at.
Yeah.
What you were able to kind of break down the demographics within this as well, weren't you?
Yeah, so what we did was we kind of identified six classes. Now, what we found, just to say, the largest cohort in the drug driving population that we detect are males under 44. That's about 83 to 90%. So they're very overrepresented, you know, as a group in our cohort. What we found is that young men were likely to fall into a cannabis-only class or a cannabis and cocaine or some other drug class. And then we found some other kind of categories where there were older drivers, where we might have had a slightly higher proportion of women. So the male-to-female ratio was lower in kind of groups where there were multiple drugs or where there was opiate use. But you have to remember that they're a much smaller grouping within the data set.
Yeah, the vast, vast majority of the people we're talking about here are men under the age of 40, between the ages of 18 and 40.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the actual legal limit of the amount of cocaine and cannabis that is allowed in the system?
So in 2017, there were a number of changes in the Road Traffic Act, and we introduced a per se level for some of the drugs like cannabis, cocaine and heroin. So the legal limit for tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the main active for cannabis, is 1 nanogram per mil in blood. And then we also look at its acid metabolite, which is at 5 nanograms per mil in blood. And with cocaine, the legal limit for cocaine itself is 10 nanograms per mil in blood, but its metabolite benzylecanine, which we also look at, is the limit of 50 nanograms per mil in blood in the legislation.
And in terms of how much drugs that actually is, how much cannabis, how much cocaine we're talking about, and how long it would be in your system, what does that translate to?
Well, in blood, you know, the we would expect that we wouldn't really, we'd see, well, like we would see those levels maybe up to, you know, 24 hours after somebody has used, potentially, you know. But it's worth stating that the Gardaí use an oral fluid test to detect drugs at the roadside, and that has a detection window of about 6 hours for drugs. So you would either have to have used drugs recently to be detected that way, or to have demonstrated signs of impairment maybe to the Gardaí before you'd be arrested.
I suppose some people might be surprised that there is any legal limit for this in the first place, that it would be illegal to be found to be driving with any drugs in your system.
Well, it is the difference is that for these, for cannabis, cocaine and heroin, there are limits where, and the difference is that there's no obligation on the state to prove that you're impaired if you have drugs in your system in excess of those limits. Whereas for all other drugs, it is illegal to be under the influence of an intoxicant. We don't specifically mention any other drugs, because every other impairing drug is included by default. But in those cases, the state would also have to prove that you were impaired.
Okay, so just having the drug at a certain limit in your blood system would be enough for a conviction.
Only in the case of cocaine, cannabis, and heroin. For everything else, impairment would have to be proven.
Okay, what about people who use cannabis for medicinal purposes?
There is an allowance in the legislation for that. So if you have a prescription for cannabis medicine, you're absolutely entitled to use that. The only caveat is you can't be impaired. So it would be an offence to have the levels above the limits I stated earlier and be impaired. That is an offence. But people can use cannabis without being prosecuted. But the state would have to prove that the person was actually impaired as a result as well.
Okay, and in relation to other drugs then, I mean, there's many drugs people take which have a warning on them, you know, don't use heavy machinery or don't drive because they may cause drowsiness. Is there legal limits to those drugs, to be found with those drugs in your system?
No. So like drugs like benzodiazepines, for example, or other opiates, you know, that people might use, there aren't any limits in the legislation. But yeah, the advice, you know, people should follow the advice of their doctors and their pharmacists when they're prescribed drugs or dispensed drugs, you know. And they should also heed the warnings in the patient information leaflets as well.
Yeah, and of course, that is the overall advice. We're talking about legal limits here and how long drugs stay in your system. But the advice really is, do not take drugs and drive.
Yeah, don't take drugs and drive. You know, we're coming into the Christmas season now where, you know, there may be increased levels of alcohol and drug use, and we're appealing to people to just be careful, plan ahead, make good decisions about driving to keep you and other people on the road safe. And again, the main cohort that, you know, may not be listening today are males under 44. We appeal to people with access to that main cohort to talk to them about drink and drug driving dangers and risks. If you're a parent or an aunt, uncle, peer or a coach, for example, we'd appeal to you to talk to them.
Okay, many thanks. That's Dr. Richard Maguire there from the Medical Bureau for Road Safety.